Well, I am a member of the governing body of the Church of England. They call it General Synod, along with John Cook. And we met in last July, in York. And during one of the talks, Archbishop of Canterbury, from the rostrum, said, I don't know whether it is him or another bishop. I think it is him. He knocked at the door of a rectory, and there was no answer. So he knocked again, and it appeared there was somebody inside. So he took his card and wrote Revelation 3:20 and slipped it under the door. And Revelation 3:20 says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. And there was no answer. He waited for another 2-3 minutes. Then he thought perhaps it may be a cat or a dog. So he went home. Next day, he got an envelope from the rector's wife with his card inside. And at the back of the card, it was written Genesis 3:10. And Genesis 3:10 reads, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Well, words can mean many things to many people. The word Christianity is misunderstood by most people in England, including the natives, the Brits. You know, when Jesus said he is the way to God, it doesn't mean that the Hindus and the Muslims and the Buddhists and others are left out. All we need to know about God is in Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what background you come from, what religion you are, whether you go to church, whether you don't go to church, do you want to know God? All we need to know about God is in Jesus Christ. Look to him and be radiant, says the Bible. Jesus is a way to God for everyone. That's our title for this morning. It's for everyone. The way to God today. Well, it doesn't matter what religion we belong to or from what country we come from. We all know that God is the ruler of this world. He made the world and he made us as rulers of the world under his authority. And we also know that it is not what we see when we look around, is it? Wherever you look, you find that we do not see a peaceful society. We all reject God's authority over us. We want to run things by ourselves without God. But we cannot control ourselves or the society or the world. Well, what do you think God will do about such a rebellion? Well, we know that God will not allow men to continue to rebel against him. And we all know that God's punishment for rebellion is eternal death. And at this point, I want to give you the good news, which I never knew until I was 35 years old, when I walked into St. Helens. And I came here and sat in those pews there and listened to John Stott preaching from Galatians. You know, Jesus Christ is the answer to each one of us. So let's take that sheet which we had, that pink or, and open it up. And in the center there are a few verses. And the first one is from our reading. Item 1, John 3:16 and 17. Let's read it together. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, when I read that, it was news for me. I saw what it doesn't say. It doesn't say that God so loved the Christians that he gave his only Son, that whoever come to all souls and give all the money away should not perish. It doesn't say that, does it? God so loved the world, the corrupt world, those who go to church, those who don't go to church, that whoever believes in him should not perish. I have two boys. I love them more than anybody else in this world. My wife says I've got two boys too many. But they are smashing boys. But then I realize that God loves me more than I love my children. He gave his only son. And that's why when I read the Bible, I found in Isaiah 49, verse 15, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. The highest human relationship you would find between two human beings is a mom feeding the baby. You can give anything to that mom to drop that baby. She wouldn't do it if she's sane. Even that mother may forget the baby. God says, I will not forget you. His arms are open to everybody. And that is why we find God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world. Jesus never came and said, be done. You're a terrible man. Never read the Bible. Never been to church. Never said the prayer. Terrible. He didn't say that. Peter, I know what a stupid idiot you are. When I made a mess of my life, he came to pick up the pieces, to start my life, asking him, come to him asking for forgiveness. But my question was, if that is the case, why is it I've got problems? You know, where is God? Why my prayers are not answered? And the answer came when I was reading Isaiah 59 verse 2. Let's read it together. Item 2. Isaiah 59 verse 2. Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you so that he does not hear. See, that was the situation. We are separated from God because of the things we have done wrong. Because of my sin. Now, I didn't know what... You know, what does it really mean, sin? You know, when Christians told me I'm a sinner, I laughed at them. Come on. I'm a good Hindu. What are you talking about? Christians are the geeky sinners, you know, walking around with a big face and they're miserable, you know, like... No, I'm a good person. That only when I began to read the Bible, I found out that sin is S-I-N. Is I in the center. Vijayamenon number one. You know, sin is not lack of British respectability. Not being a decent Englishman or something like that. Sin is living my life without reference to God. Without reference to Jesus. You know, I did not become a sinner because I sinned. I sin because I am a sinner. I was born with sinful nature. Nobody has to teach me to sin. I haven't obeyed God. I can't obey God. I didn't even want to obey God because I'm a slave to sin. I've got this watch here. It's metal strap. If you put it in water, what will happen? It'll sink. Because the nature of the metal is to sink in water. Gravity. In the same way, it's the nature of me to say no to God. I'm quite contented. I'm a self-made man. See, nobody has to teach me. We all have. And sometimes say, well, I'm not as bad as you are. And quite often, yes, it's possible. You know, take a big tank of sweet, pure milk. Not skimmed one, you know, not half fat. No, really good milk. And if you put a little handful of poison in it, the milk is poisoned. Well, take a bucket full of poison. It's still poisoned. Now, no point in saying, oh, it's only a handful of poison, I'll drink it. We'll die. See, we all, doesn't matter how, all have sinned. Now, let's read the next item together. Item 3, Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. The Archbishop have sinned. The Pope have sinned. Now, your rector, Richard Buse, you think he's a holy man. If you can go into his heart and think what he thinks, he's one of the worst sinners in London. And I'm 10 times worse than him. If my wife knew what I've been thinking in the last 7 days, she will divorce me on the spot. No, I haven't committed adultery. Never thought about divorce. Murder many times. Can you imagine? Just suppose if you wired me without I'm realizing it. Everything I'm thinking is recorded in a videotape. And I'm going to show it tomorrow morning here on a video, on a screen here. Do you think I'll be here? I'll scram. See, if our friends knew everything what we are thinking, we wouldn't have many friends left. We all have failed and fall short of the glory of God. Now, I'm not saying how we feel about it. You know, it is not how I feel. I may feel well. It's morally I've disobeyed God. You know, I may run through a traffic light, red light. I may feel I'm all right. See, ignorance of law is not an excuse. Not how I feel. But I have broken God's law. And what happens? Let's read the next item together. Item 4, Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. See, we are born spiritually dead. Tinker, tailor, rich man, poor man. Everybody, when you are born into the world, our spirit is dead. And you know, death, apart from that, we will die one day. You know, death is one of the most democratic thing in this country. Nobody can get out of it. We all have to kick the bucket one day. And not only will we die when we die, but we are dead today to God. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What God was telling me when I read the Bible is, Vijay, God is willing to take the eye from the center, Vijay Menon number one. He built a bridge by putting Christ in his place, if I'm willing to. See, he built a way for me to go to God today, through his word, through the death of Jesus Christ. He died for me on the cross. It's a free gift. Well, how do I know? Well, I read in Romans, in 1 Peter 3:18. Let's read it together. Item 5, 1 Peter 3:18. Christ also died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. See, he covered my failures. He covered my failures on the cross. You know, Psalm 32 verse 1, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. You go and buy a brand new car tomorrow. Aston Martin or Jag or Volvo, and come to Lloyd's where I work in the city and insure it. And next month, you have an accident. Don't worry, it's covered. It's covered. See, God gives you pictures in the Bible for us to understand, forgiven, forgotten. You know, when I was a Hindu, when I didn't read the Bible, my question was, how can a just God forgive the things I have done wrong? I know when I die, God will look at my life and he will condemn me because of things I have done wrong. And only when I began to read the Bible, how God could be just and at the same time God could be love. Just imagine one of my boys, the eldest one, he started Oak Hill Ordinance this week or last week. Now suppose he goes and tries to rob a bank and he brought to the courtroom, caught by policemen. And even though I am his dad, I must say, Suresh, shouldn't have done that. I'm going to give you maximum punishment, 6 months jail or £6,000 fine. I've done my duty as a judge. I've been just. But I can go to the prison and take my checkbook and, son, are you sorry for what you've done? And take my pen and write £6,000, sign it and tear it and give it to him. Now, he has got two options. Dad, get lost. I'll suffer what I've done. I don't need your help. Or help me. Now, the check is the most insignificant illustration. If I could understand how God could be just and God could be love at the same time, he took the punishment I deserve on the cross. He covered my failures. And do you know, in Britain, it's completely different, isn't it? I mean, in India, we ask, how can a just God forgive me? help me from the reincarnation. But people in Britain, the Brit says, how can a good God get in good people, not get in good people and check all the good people out? See, what we don't realize is we all have failed and God took the punishment we deserve. And there are many pictures in the Bible to help us to understand. In Acts chapter 3 verse 19, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that the time of refreshing may come from the Lord. Wiped out. Now if I die, I knew God will show everything what I have done. It's all recorded in his book. Now I don't know how God records it. 200 years ago, nobody knew how to the videotape. You know the videotape now? My next door neighbor has got a camcorder. And he takes a 7-year-old daughter. About every 6 months I've seen him, you know, walking around, taking about 5 minutes. So what are you doing, Roy? Oh, I'm taking 5 minutes every 6 months. I'm going to give it to her as a wedding present. How she grew up from the cradle to the aisle. You know, everything recorded in a video. Well, if you look at night, you see thousands of stars on a clear star sky. And what we are seeing now, what happened some time ago. By the time the light from the stars came to the earth, the stars are moved. So the whole movement of the galaxies and the universe are recorded by light waves. Light rays. If I can go faster than light, I can see what I'm doing. See? Just for an illustration, if I die tonight and go in front of God, and God tells the angel, bring Vijay Menon's videotape. The angel takes the videotape. Sir, it's absolutely blank. There's nothing in it. The blood of Jesus wiped away, washed away everything. Now you go to Soho and go to the worst video nasty you could find. Bring them here and ask John Cook to put a magnet on top of it. What happens? All wiped off. Just as if you have never recorded it. And put all Christian message and put it back. That's what God does. He washes my failures and he helps me to understand God's word and he wanted to share it with everybody. And you know, the only thing I could give God, my very own, to get from my dead side into a living life with him, is my failures. Well, how do I know? Let's read the item 6 together. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Let's read it together. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not because of works, lest any man should boast. I tried to build bridges to God. Being a good Hindu. Saying my prayers. Reading my scriptures. Going to the temple. You know, there is not a time in my life I haven't loved God. I prayed every day. Any major decisions I did, I asked for God's guidance. But I never knew God. I never knew God. See, I knew about him. See, and I was afraid to die. Because I knew how to sit for a final exam. See, and nothing I could give God except the things I have done wrong in order to make me clean. Well, let's see the next item together. Item 7, John 5, 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Has passed. No final exam. You know, if my failures are not on the cross, I have to sit for a final exam. But God says, you have passed. What a great joy. And it's confirmed in the next verse. Let's read it together. Item 8, 1 John 5, 11 and 12. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son of God has not life. And this is the testimony. This is the evidence. This is the record that God gave us eternal life. And the source of this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. Not will have, has life. You know, I never enjoyed life until I began to read the Bible. I got assurance. You know the miracles God did, when Jesus did when he was on earth? He gave the sight to a blind man. He helped a deaf man to hear. He helped a dumb man to speak. I was spiritually blind. He opened my eyes to see God's glory. He opened my ears to hear what God is speaking when I read the Bible. He opened my lips to say, praise God. I never said, praise God. I treat him like a heavenly butler. Pass my exam, I'll put my 5 points in the collection box. Do this to me, I'll do that to you. No, no. We praise God because Jesus died for us and we have given us life. Now, what is this life Jesus could give to a Hindu? Even though I never went to church or never read the Bible and when I came to him. Well, let's read the next item together. Item 9, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. When I came asking forgiveness, he not only covered my failures, not only wiped out my videotape, not only he cleansed me, but he put his spirit in my heart. I'm a new creation. I'm not a patched up Hindu. I'm a new Christian, new creation. See, that is why Jesus told Nicodemus, when Nicodemus came and said, from our reading at night, I know you're a man come from God. You can't do these things unless God were with you. And he is the ruler of the Jews, top in Sanhedrin. If you would have lived today, you would have been Archbishop of Canterbury or something like that. And Jesus said, cut it out, cut it out. Don't try to patronize me. You can't even see the kingdom. And I thought, that was a bit hard. And only when I studied it, I realized Jesus was telling the truth. See, here is Nicodemus. See, I know your man come from God. And he's completely forgot that. He has understood that here is sitting God the Son. The second person in the Trinity. The Word became flesh. I know you're a man come from God. You can't even see the kingdom. See, the fact is, when we are born into the world, we are blind, we are deaf, we are dumb. And God opens that life for us. And you can't even see the kingdom. See, Jesus could see right into the heart of Nicodemus. He knew what Nicodemus was thinking. What about me? I love you. I'm a religious man. I want to serve God. What about me? And Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be created. Because when we are born into the world, we are dead spiritually. And he explains that you must be born of water and the spirit. And he interprets it. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. Now let me explain. One other way I can think of, there are many ways you can explain that. One other way I can think of is when I was born as a Hindu, my mother's womb, I was there 9 months and the water broke. And I was born into the world, I had flesh. But my spirit was dead. But when Jesus came, it became alive. Now the way I can explain, it's a poor illustration. I went to the market and bought half a dozen eggs. I'll be very careful. If I drop it, I'll be in trouble. And John told me, don't drop it, BJ. Don't throw it anywhere. Now, they are real eggs from supermarket. Now, if a hen sit on it, it won't produce a chick because they are battery eggs from electrical chicken farm. 7 million of them are produced in this country every week. But what I did was I changed one. I went to Upminster. There's a free-range farm there. And went to the hen and cock run around, I got one egg. I changed it. How do I know which one it is? Well, I put a cross on it. Now, if a hen sit on it, only one egg will produce a chick. All others are battery eggs. In a similar way, when I was born into the world, my soul was like a battery egg. But when Jesus came in my life, it became like a free-range egg. It's alive! And I know it. I can fool every one of you. But you can't fool yourself. He gives you life. Now what difference did it make? Let's read the next item together. Item 10. John 1, 12 and 13. To all who receive him, who believe in his name, he gave power to become children of God. Children, not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. none of you could convert me. I can't make any one of you a Christian. See, even if you call the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Bishop of London and your rector and come and bless this act, does it make it a free ranger? Of course it does. Only God can give us that life. Well, how did I allow him to have that life? Let's see the next item together. Item 11, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Every time I'm reading the Bible, there's a little voice saying, yeah, there's truth. That's true. That's true. That's true. See, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. I will germinate your soul. You'll be the temple of my spirit. I will dwell in you. You'll be alive to me today. Well, what is the cost I have to pay? The last three words. I'll come into him and eat with him as a guest, and he with me. He turns the table and becomes the boss. In other words, for me to cross over, no point in getting here and confirmed and baptized, not simply seeing a few prayers or anything. I have to put my whole weight on the cross. See, I was separate from God. God is on one side and I was there. Because of the sin. And Jesus took on all of the God side and the man side, and he hung there in order that I may come to him. And if I have to cross over a bridge, I have to put my whole weight on it. Well, what does that mean biblically? Well, let me read you from Jesus, what Jesus said. How do I put my whole weight on the cross? Well, Luke 9:23. Then Jesus said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up the cross daily, follow me. Three things I had to do exactly the same. Deny self, take up the cross, follow me. Deny self means I had to be willing to let God take Vijay Menon number one and put Christ in his place. I couldn't do it myself. Deny self. Christ in place of I. Secondly, take up the cross. Now, you can't die daily. Take up the cross daily means you have to die for something to live for something. It's a picture. You know, you have to die for the television to pass the exam if you're a student. You have to die for the creamy cake to have a lovely figure if you're a beautiful girl. Die for self, live for Christ. And follow me means respond to his love, which means it costs us everything to be a Christian. The things that God wants is selfishness. God help me. Now, what happens if I would have said no? Well, it's quite clear. A Christian once said, fear not that your life shall come to an end. Rather fear it may never have a beginning. I would have died with my soul as a battery yet. No life. Not when I die, I'll die when I die. But death today. And that's why Jesus said, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his very self? Well, there's another thing I couldn't say no. Let's read item 12 together. John 3:36. Let's read it together. Whoever believes the Son has eternal life. For whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. I would have been under the wrath of God. Under the rightful anger of God. Now let me explain. John Cook, the great friend of mine. Suppose he suddenly collapsed there. With a terrible stomachache. Oh, you know, couldn't breathe. And we rang the ambulance, took him to the hospital, St. Thomas of Aquin. And the doctor looked at him for about 2 days and found out suddenly next morning he said, now, John, I've got bad news for you. Your liver is conked out. You'll be vegetable for the rest of your life. Sorry, can't do that. Liver gone, you're gone. So I've got two boys. The younger one, Neil, comes in, and no, Dad, you can't let John die. Young man, upcoming, a curate, maybe an archbishop one day, you never know. No, you can't let him die. No, you've got two boys. Let me give my liver to him. So with great sorrow, yes, John, my great friend of mine, okay, I agreed. I've got two boys. And the doctor operated him. Of course, he died. And then he got everything ready. And come next morning to John, who's lying in the bed. Now, John, everything is all right. Don't worry. Vijay's son, Neil, gave his liver. The operation theater is ready, and we're going to have a transplant tomorrow. You'll be all right. So John lied down and said, I don't want it. Don't want it. Wouldn't I get annoyed? I'll kill him, wouldn't I? If I let my son die so that he could have life, I don't want it. How furious I would be. And that's nothing compared to God the Creator, the universe. He came himself as word became flesh. And he suffered what I deserve on the cross. And if I say, I don't want it, I'm under the rightful anger of God. Well, what do I have to do? Let's read item 13 together. 1 John 1:9. My time is up. Let's read it together. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just ask him, repent. What does repent mean? I tell you what repent means. An Indian boy came into this England, London, and there was a coal fire. And he's never seen a coal fire. He was sitting with his dad. He was, you know, the magic of the flame going up and down. And he looked at it, and any time when the coal fell on the floor, his dad came and wet his finger, took the coal and put it inside. Fascinating, the burning coal, just put it inside. So one day dad wasn't there, the coal fell on the floor. So I'll be dad. And he wet his finger, picked the coal, and he burned his hand. So he said, I'm sorry I did it. I don't want to do it again. That's the picture of repentance. I'm sorry I did it. I don't want to do it again. Will you help me, God? So let's turn around and conclude. Can you turn the sheet the other way around? Now, which side are you on? On the wrong side or the right side? Perhaps you're not sure. Well, I have good news for you. Jesus has done everything that is necessary for us to know God today and have a real personal relationship with him. All that is required of us is to come and receive it as a free gift. Well, if you're not sure, will you accept that gift from God today? Here is a prayer that will help us receive that gift and open our heart to Jesus Christ today. Now let's look at the prayer. What does it mean? Lord Jesus, I've broken your commandments. Don't you agree? I haven't even lived up to my own standards. Well, you know it. I know that you died on the cross for me to take my disobedience to God away. That's what the Bible says. They're God's word. I want to hand over my sins to you. Well, do we hand over rubbish to him? What do? I open the door of my heart to you. Now, there are three things we happen exactly the same. Come in as my Savior to cleanse me, to wash my videotape. Come in as my Lord to control me. He becomes my master. Come in as my friend to be with me. I know him, not know about him. I want to serve you. I can never say I will. Lord, be weak as I am, I want to. Will you help me? I want to serve you for the remaining years of my life in complete obedience. I ask this in your precious name. Now, we're going to say a prayer. Now, if you're not quite sure where you stand, if you say, yes, I can say that prayer, I want to, let's say the prayer together. But if you say, well, it's too costly, I can't say it, please don't say the prayer. There's no magic in the prayer. You can say the prayer 100 times. Doesn't make me a Christian. I can't make you a Christian. The prayer doesn't make you a Christian. God looks at our heart. So if you are able to say that prayer, let's say the prayer together. And if you are not sure, and if you are a Christian, well, I've got one more prayer for you. But let's say the prayer if you are not sure and if you want to. And I'll say it and you can echo it in your heart as you read it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I have broken your commandments. I haven't even lived up to my own standards. I know that you died on the cross for me to take my disobedience to God away. I want to hand over my sins to you. I open the door of my heart to you. Come in as my Savior to cleanse me. Come in as my Lord to control me. Come in as my friend to be with me. I want to serve you for the remaining years of my life in complete obedience. I ask this in your precious name. Amen. And if you are a Christian, let me tell you another good news. The happiest Christian is the one who is wherever God wants him to be, doing the things God wants him to do. Because God has got our best interest in his heart. Now, we heard the good news. And if you are a Christian, if you're on the right side, let's rededicate our life to him. Lord, here am I, all of me. Deny self, take up the cross, follow him. So this is the prayer I'm going to say. But if you can echo it in your mind, you can say, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for being my Savior. No, he died for us.
Master and friend. He's my Lord and he's my friend.
I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go and do whatever you want me to do. That, and don't say it if you don't mean it, because God may ask you to do things which we may not want to do it. But if you're willing, he knows what is best. I rededicate my life to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll say it slowly and you can echo it in your mind if you are able to say that. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for being my Savior, my Master, and my friend.